And good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today, our guest is Don Hall, veteran Rowland County jailer. Don, it's been a while since you've been with us on the show, but as always, we're glad to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here, Chuck, and yeah, it has been a while, so I'm glad we're here to
Glad to have you back anyway, because I know you're in the process of getting ready to retire.
16 months and 7 days, but who's counting?
You didn't get it down to hours and seconds, so maybe you're not counting quite enough yet. At the same time, now, you've served quite a bit. Talk about you've had two terms in office as jailer. How many years have you totally served?
Actually, I've had four terms, Chuck.
Four terms.
I was elected in 93, and I served from 94 through 2002, and I was defeated, and I sat out 4 years and was reelected in 06, so I'm in my second term of this go-around. So I'm in my 16th year now serving Round County, and by the end of this term, I will have served 17 years.
So when you talk about the 17 years, nearly two decades, and we're going back to when you first ran for office back in 1993 for the position you have and took over in 94, I imagine running the Rowland County Detention Center is much different than it was back in 1993.
Much different, Chuck. There's a lot of different challenges now that we have now that we didn't have then. In the 90s, we were blessed that probably less than somewhere around a third of our population were Rowland County inmates. We didn't house enough females to actually fill our female wing up. So through the years, we've always sent our females to another county and filled those beds up with inmates from either state inmates or inmates from another county, male inmates from another counties, and produce revenue to keep the Rowland County's taxpayers' contribution as low as we could for the operation of the jail. Today we have we're a 78-bed facility, and we keep about 95 Rowland County inmates, so there's no room for any revenue generating inmates at all anymore. We have a few because we just have to overcrowd, but because of pending charges or whatever. But once if inmates are final sentenced, we no longer can keep them and make revenue from them.
Mm. And how many inmates do you have in there currently?
Probably about 110. I didn't look at the population this morning, but we fluctuate between 100 and 110. So probably a good strong 105 average, that daily average, I would say.
You're talking about 25 or 30% over capacity, roughly?
Right.
Is that pretty challenging?
It is, and since 1994, I don't remember very many times that we actually had empty beds. I mean, it's the beds have always been full at our jail. Probably, I'm going to say then, probably 10 or 15% over capacity at all times. So historically, we've always been over capacity.
The current jail that you have now, and we'll talk about the plan to build a new regional jail here in just a moment by the county, but really, that jail is not that old.
It's, I think it opened in 91. It was 2 or 3 years old when I took office the first time, and I think late 90, early 91 is when they actually moved into that jail. So, yeah, it's not an old jail in terms of building, but you got to remember, too, that jails are a 24/7 operation. They get the wear. You know, it's not like a conventional building, a store or what have you, that work 8 or 10 hours. You know, it's a 24/7 operation. So, but the jail's in good physical condition, and it's very usable jail. It's just smaller than what we need right now.
And I think back, and many will say, well, only 78 beds. Was there enough foresight at the time when they built that jail? Should they have made it larger? But at the time, probably 78 beds was about the right number.
Actually, when the jail was built, it was rated at 69 beds, and there was a square footage change in the jail standards somewhere in the mid-2000s, while I was out of office, actually, that allowed 9 more beds to be added. There used to be, I think, 50 square feet. Now it's 40 square feet per inmate, what the statutes read. So probably at the time, Chuck, there's probably two things. They built it to the size they felt like they needed, and also there's a cost factor when counties go into the jail business. It's what they feel like they can afford to their debt service can be and what they can handle financially.
In talking with other officials, they said nobody builds jail to make money.
That's true in Eastern Kentucky. That probably sounds true, but in the through the years, and actually in 1999, the physical court we looked at expanding Brown County Jail then because of the Class D inmates that the state had available at that time. And we chose not to take advantage, or the physical court chose not to take advantage of that, and made a decision to just keep going as we were. And because at that time also the state was putting out, you know, not to build beds, but depending on state inmates to pay for them. However, the Western Kentucky counties, there's some jails that actually run in the black. They've got some Christian County, for one, ran in the black for several years, had excess funds. I think now they're struggling because of the lack of Class D inmates. So they're, but they enjoyed probably 10 or 15 years of making money. Henderson County, I think, still runs in the black. There's a handful, just a small handful of jails that actually run in the black and don't take any contributions from their counties.
Is that because they're housing more state and federal prisoners? And I know you also get paid by other counties to hold their prisoners.
Right, it's a generating revenue in inmates that's the reason for that, and those counties were proactive. I think Fulton County, I don't know what their daily population is of their own county, but it's a really small number, less than 100, and they've got 300-plus beds, so Ricky Parnell's a jailer down there, and unfortunately he's the jailer that I've got an agreement with, and that's where most of our state inmates, when they're sentenced, it's far western Kentucky, southwestern Kentucky, and it's a long way to have to send them. But Ricky has always taken my inmates, regardless of their health conditions, and that's the reason we send them there. We can't afford to be stuck with an inmate that may have health problems, and we don't have enough paying inmates to offset what the cost would be.
Don, what does the state pay to hold its prisoners, and what do other counties pay?
Chuck, right now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to sound crazy, but I think it's $31.63 or $73 a day, and that includes the medical, routine medical, which would mean prescriptions and nurse calls and that type of thing. The other counties that we're contracted with, if we've got any that we can house, we're getting $35 a day, and those counties are responsible for their medical.
It used to be, I know you used to house quite a bit of other counties' inmates, and I guess that's not happening so much anymore.
You know, back in when I first took office, again, we'll date back to the mid-90s, we housed for Carter. Carter didn't have a jail then. We housed Carter, Elliott, Morgan, and some of Bath County. And then we housed state inmates. I usually averaged, I think, about 65 inmates that we were getting paid for at that time. That's what we tried to do to make our budget, you know, to make what we, where we, I felt like we needed to be in our, with our budget, and take the least amount of money from Brown County that I could. We've never had the good fortune of running totally in the black, though. That's never happened in Brown County.
I know someone's probably wondering, well, why in the world are you not trying to take in more prisoners from other counties, maybe hold more state inmates? And we discussed here earlier in the show that about 95% of the inmates that the Rowan Detention Center currently has, of the 110 that are behind bars, are from Rowan County. And maybe talk about why that issue is the way it is.
Well, there's two things, Chuck. As I said earlier, that historically we didn't house females to approximately 4 years ago, but our female growth exploded to a third of our population was females. Our male, I don't know exactly when the male population grew, but I contribute most of it to the drug problems in our counties and surrounding counties. I think I think that's the reason you see biggest percentage of our inmates are drug offenders, and whether it's directly drug related or theft charges that they're feeding their habits. But I think that's got a lot to do with it. And when we had to bring our females back in to it become where that the county, Carter County, was holding our females for us, and they just ran out of room. They needed more room, so they had to quit housing our females. So we had to bring our females in, and then at that time we were still holding Morgan County inmates, and we tried to do it while hold females and the Morgan counties, but it just kept our population so high we couldn't manage it. So we had to give up Morgan County inmates, and They averaged about 40 inmates a day, so that was a great big hit to Round County to lose that revenue.
You talked about the growth of female inmates. That's not just happening in Rowan County, but when you look at other county lockups and you talk about the state prison system, the number of prisoners who are women, that number just seems like it's blowing up.
The most, I think, statewide, or the at least the jailers I've spoke with and talked about this issue, that a lot of them were looking at the same numbers we were, 30 to 33% were of their population were females. Our female population is a little bit lower right now, and I can't tell you why, but it just could be the cycle. Oftentimes your population comes and goes because of you've got people with pending charges, and once they finally get sometimes it takes 14 to 17 months to get somebody through the court system that's on a felony charge. So, and if you've got several inmates arrested somewhere in the same time frame, and then all at once they get final sentence and move on, then your population may fluctuate down a little bit, but then it always comes back.
Is the drug problem perhaps the major reason why you're getting more females behind bars?
I think so, yes. I think so. I think because the reason being that the drug problem affects the females, I don't think our females have got to become more criminalized, but you've got as many female drug offenders as you do male drug offenders. So obviously your population grew, in which before we got 11-bed wing for the females, and we couldn't fill the 11 beds. So we've had as high as 35 females in that 11-bed section for, and that's grossly overcrowded.
This all kind of tells me when I think about it is that we know that jails and the prison system are overcrowded here in Kentucky. But when you talk about adding more females, perhaps in numbers that were not expected, that this is creating even more of a problem.
Yeah, it's but now some jails, we were at a jailers meeting in Louisville a couple weeks ago when some of those built for females, and they're struggling to keep their beds full. So it's I don't know if when they get to the – if the prisons have more beds available, or maybe there's more female beds than per ratio than male beds available throughout the state. But the people that targeted female inmates, they're having some empty beds there.
We talked about county inmates, other counties' inmates. We've talked about state inmates. And I know that the federal government will place – oftentimes, the Marshal Service in particular, prisoners in local county lockups, in particular Carter County, I know, is holding some federal prisoners. What's the reimbursement rate from, say, the feds, and why isn't Rowan County perhaps hosting federal prisoners? I guess, again, it's a space issue, but...
And I'm not sure exactly, but I think it's a mid-$40 range is what the feds pay. And a lot of that business is they're moving federal inmates for court purposes. They don't just house them there totally, and it's more than just housing inmates. You're also moving, transporting inmates from place to place, and they end up staying in your jail a short while. We've never had the room for them, Chucks, and I've never went after federal inmates just for that very reason. We've never, as I said before, we've always been over capacity, just never have had the room for them.
The proposal right now on the table, and I know the county officials are working on this as we speak, is to build a new regional jail here in Rowan County. Or as we talked about, you have 78 beds now. The new facility would have between, I guess, 250 and maybe 300 or so. And if that happens, do you think that Rowan County might be able to get a federal contract or go after it?
You know, there again, Chuck, you know, when we start talking about bed size and number of beds, I surely hope they don't build a 250-bed jail, because we'll be facing the same issue that we are today. I mean, we're still not going – when the mortar's dried, you're going to be overpopulated again. I think to build anything less than 300 beds would be a wrong decision to make. But I think we need around 100 beds ourselves, and naturally if we have more beds, we may end up – I mean, you'll see a little growth spurt, I think, if you've got beds available in a way that misdemeanors may get some more time. It's not going to change your felony charges, but they may be utilized more. The Round County would probably be lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry, but that could be an idea that they could possibly get some federal inmates if they build enough beds. I think they probably need what I think they need is 100 beds, at least 100 beds for Round County inmates. Naturally, obviously, we're close to 100 right now, and without any growth, we're going to, you know, you wouldn't want to build just exactly what you need. You want to look at 10 or 15 year or 20 year growth. We've got five counties that touch us that we're going to try to get inmates from, and they would probably need 100 beds, and that would leave you 100 beds for the Class Ds that the state pays for. Now, those beds are volatile. They move up and down. It depends on what happens with the state. Right now, as I said, there's some Western Kentucky beds that are not full. I feel that if Round County, if we had 100, we rent 100 beds out to our neighboring counties, and then the people that are convicted of felonies from those counties will fill up that other 100 without worrying about getting any inmates from anywhere else. Then you've got Carter, Boyd, Greenup, and Mason County that they all run overpopulated in Montgomery. And instead of them sending their state inmates, their convicted felons, instead of them sending them to Western Kentucky, I'd hope that they would I don't think there would be any problem with them filling those other 100 beds up with state inmates. House Bill 463 that was passed a couple of years ago, there's been a lot of inmates released from the prisons, and that's the reason I wouldn't want to build any more than 300, I don't think, at this time, because that number will fluctuate. But I think that the 100 beds that you would reserve for those people, I don't think they'd be hard to keep full with the counties that you're serving, and it wouldn't be shuffling inmates all over the state, I don't think.
Once again, our guest today on Front Page is Round County Jailer Don Hall. We'll go ahead and pause on the show, come back with more right after this.
In a very weak moment, and probably because they don't think anybody will really listen, the management at WMKY has given me 2 hours to celebrate work and songs about work. Next edition of Grand Alden's Field Notes, Friday before Labor Day weekend, 7 o'clock, Morehead State Public Radio. It'll be good work, trust me.
Drink my beer in a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues.
Yeah, welcome back to Front Page again. Round County Jailer Don Hall is our guest, and I'm Chuck Meraz. Let's talk, Don, a little bit about something that maybe we should have talked about when we talked about going after a federal contract. It's not that easy to do. I mean, there's a process involved. It's an involved process, and getting a contract to say even holding some of these people who are considered federal inmates is not an easy thing, and it's not a simple thing to have happen.
It just because you've got beds, it's not an automatic thing. I know Carter County's got they're able to house inmates, but I think what the marshals do, my understanding is that they contract or have the agreement with the jailer. It's not the county the county's actually, it's their facility, don't get me wrong, but depending on the jailer would be whether they put inmates in that jail or not, and depending on the service that you would provide the marshals. As I said earlier, I've never pursued that, so I don't know the exact procedure of getting a federal contract. One of my chief deputy, he ran into one of the marshals on a meeting he was at, and he asked him if Round County was ever thought about pursuing the federal marshal or federal inmates, and he told him then, he said, we just don't have the room, and it's something we don't have an interest in right now.
You mentioned something earlier I wanted to get back to that I found very interesting. When the new regional jail is eventually built and you have, say, 250, 300, 325 beds available, that it could cause possibly some of the local judges to change the way they sentence offenders because they know that there are more beds available. Now, I find that very fascinating.
Well, and I don't mean to say anything, make our judges mad, but sound like that they're not adjudicating the way they should. But it's just most jails that have the build additional beds, they end up seeing a slight growth in their misdemeanor populations.
Hmm. Well, as we talked about, you're getting ready to retire, but you're in on the process and working as, you know, I guess, at least in an advisory capacity regarding the plans for the new regional detention center.
Yeah, I talked with Judge Nickel yesterday, and they actually have got some proposals of property sites that may be available, and he gave me a list of those sites. And plans are that maybe later today or later this week sometime that we're actually going to go look at a few of those sites that that may be something that we would be an interest to Round County.
What would you like to see in regards to this new jail?
In terms of?
Well, just about anything. What would be your druthers if I said, here, Don, I'm going to give you the paper and the pencil. I'm going to let you draw up the blueprint for this. Here, you can do whatever you want. What do you want?
How long is this show?
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left.
So. Chuck, you know, I would like to see our jail now, you know, we don't have enough segregation cells. Sometimes you need those for managing trouble inmates. You know, I'd like to see at least a 10% of the beds you build would be segregation cells where you could isolate the trouble people or people that have to be isolated on account of medical reasons. I'd like to see where the flow of inmates that where you have male and female that they're never in contact with each other. You'd have a totally separate wing. Now we just got a female section down the – it's just down the hallway. You've got flaps on the doors and that type of thing. And they don't really have any contact with the males. But I'd like to have it where that when you move females throughout the jail or males, they didn't see one or the other in the facility. Have their separate recreation spots. And we serve food in the cells. That's not an issue, but have it structured so where that the females, other than coming through booking, you would never see them. The males would never see, or vice versa, the females never see the males. It would be one of the things. I'd like to see, this is going to sound crazy, but I'd like to see some break area for my staff. You know, we don't have, if my staff wants to just chill out for a minute, we have nowhere currently for them to do that. You know, sometimes you got to get a break in an 8-hour day, or sometimes our people work 16-hour shifts, and I'd like to see that available for them, and actually lockers where they could shower and leave there in street clothes, possibly, if they chose to. And we have a lot of the people we deal with, it's not a dirty environment, but we have blood-borne, airborne pathogens, and some people like to shower before they go home to their children in that capacity. And the list goes on. There's a lot of things that I'm afraid we'd run out of time, but the convenience of moving inmates, I think, would probably be keeping the male and female separate and having your isolation cells to where that it take just you could pop a door where they could go to the shower, and you wouldn't take the inmate staff actually physically going to the. I mean, there could be a lot of things done in that to relieve manpower, I think.
I know the current jail is the budget for it, and what you spend, I guess, on a year is well over $1 million, I believe. And as you look at the plans for the new regional jail, if things shape up the way they're supposed to shape up, do you feel like that we talk about making money? We may not make money, but can you get closer to maybe a break-even status?
Our budget is just under $1.6 million. I think it's $1.5 million something, almost $1.6 million. And Round County, I think this year we're budgeted to put in just around $1 million that Round County taxpayers will be putting into it. I had a proposal on a 325-bed jail that showed that if we did what I filled it up, 200 beds rented and 100 beds using of our own, that and including the debt service, that it would, on a $15 million facility, that it would be no cost to Round County. Now, I don't – you know, that's a architect that's probably looking for work. But I looked at his numbers, and actually the treasurer and myself did. We prepare our budget together, and I wanted two sets of eyes looking at those numbers, and we felt like that most of the numbers were pretty accurate. The revenues weren't inflated, and the cost was about where we felt like that it would be. So I think it would, you know, I think we could significantly reduce the $1 million contribution to Round County if we build a jail and if it's operated properly.
Well, you're getting set, as we talked about, to retire here in 16 months and 7 days. Was that right? Do I have the numbers right?
That's close. I didn't do the math.
All right. But at the same time, what are your plans after you step down?
Well, my wife and I were sitting on the deck this morning having a cup of coffee, and she's got a pretty long laundry list of honeydew jobs that I've kind of neglected through the years, and I think that's number one. She's going to probably have keep me busy for a few months, and I don't know, Chuck. I really don't. Everybody said you have to have a plan. I don't really have a plan of what I plan to do, and I may get bored out of my wits and have to go find something to do, but
I may
I'm
need
not
a
sure.
co-host. So
well, that'd be great. I don't know. I'm not too good at talking, but I've been active in you had me on here with the Shrine before, and I've been active with them, and I may put some of my efforts back into that. I don't know. I really don't have a plan. I just want to. What I think I want to do is whatever I want to, but probably what Mommy wants me to do probably be more than anything. Challenge. So that's but anyway, that's where I'm at today.
Well, Don, thanks so much for your service to Rowan County. We appreciate the work you do over at the jail, and we certainly wish you the best of luck in retirement.
Thanks, Chuck. And I'd like to take just a second, if I could. I thank Rowan County for giving me the opportunity to serve them. It's been good to me, and I feel blessed that they let me serve for as long as I did.
Rowan County Jailer Don Hall, our guest today on Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz, your host of the show. See you next time.